And I want to share with you tonight this. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. I want to share this with you. As your pastor to this congregation, I want you to know this. Keep doing it right. Keep doing it the right way. Brother Jerry, I can't believe you said that a while ago. We're not for sale. Keep doing it the right way. God honors it if you do it the right way. God honors it. You keep doing it the right way, church. No matter who stands behind this desk, you keep doing it the right way. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And I want to preach a little title tonight. Keep doing it the right way. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier," woo, "of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." Hey, we got somebody to please, amen? "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come in and stand behind this sacred desk tonight and preach, thus saith the word of God. Father, I thank you tonight for Apostle Paul as he's talking to young Timothy. He's telling young Timothy to keep doing it the right way. Don't let things of this world distract them. Don't let the things that are going on TV, the things that are going on in the news, the things that are going on around us distract us from what you've called us to do, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue. Let me preach the saith the word tonight, Father. Lord, I thank you for this local body tonight. I thank you for the prayer request that's been lifted up. Father, you know everyone that's been mentioned tonight. You even know the unspoken request that could not be uttered tonight. Lord, I thank you for them as well, Father. Lord, I pray tonight you bless everyone in this place real good. I pray we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We ask you in no other name. I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, keep doing it right. I want you to get this. God has a plan for the church. He has a plan for you, and He has a plan for me tonight. He has a plan for the local body church, and He wants us to follow the plan so the church can keep doing it right, that we can keep doing it the right way. But how can we do it right? How can we do it according to the Word of God? I want to say tonight the word "it" that I'm using and referring to tonight. That is the ministry of the local body church. That is the ministry that He's given us to do. How we love on people and we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Try to bring them into the fold. Try to bring them in to understand what God can do in their life. If you look with me in verse number 1 tonight, I see number 1 that being strong in grace. You say, "Preacher, what must we continue to do?" We must continue being strong in grace. That is being strong in the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. Look what he says here. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You say, what good will it do us, preacher, if we preach grace and we show grace and we teach grace and we show that love? What good will it do us? I say tonight that grace preaching, it'll produce cross-carrying people. People that are carrying the cross for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It produces Jesus, a loving church. I want to say to you tonight that grace preaching, he said, I want you to be strong in that grace. I want you to be strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. Now don't you get away from the grace of God in this place. I say to you tonight, number one, it'll produce a compassion, a congregation tonight, that you'll have grace for somebody when they walk in. No matter what's going on in their life, no matter where they've been or what's going on, you'll have compassion as a congregation. I say it won't only produce a compassion, but it provides love for the lost. When a lost person walks in this building, they ought to feel the love of Jesus Christ when they walk in. They ought to see a lady stand up here and weeping, crying her eyes out, saying that God has met her need, that God has answered her prayers, that God has saved her husband. And then all of a sudden, a local body church, a lady on the front pew comes up and locks arms with her. That's what the lost world ought to see. They ought to see compassion in this place. They ought to see people locking arms. They ought to see that tonight, in this place tonight. It'll produce compassion. compassion. It'll provide love for the lost, but it'll also promote tenderness for the brokenhearted. Here when Paul come and he told young Timothy, he said, I want you to be strong. I want you to be strong in that grace tonight. Friends, tonight, if you don't have that grace of Jesus Christ pumping in your veins tonight, if you don't have that grace, it won't be long. You'll be giving up. You'll be ready to throw the towel in tonight. It's by grace, the grace that we show, the grace that we give. We show it because Jesus gave us that a grace from the cross. You say, what is that? That grace is only found in Christ Jesus. Look with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter number 3 in verse number 18. You said, preacher, when I got saved, I got grace. Amen, you sure did. What should I do in that grace? What should I do with that grace? You should grow in that grace. As you were saved by grace tonight, by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His mercies, His riches, what should I do with that? We should grow in that grace. We ought to be able to show somebody else that same grace that was shown to us. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18 tonight. Here's what Peter even said. He said, but grow in grace. He said, I want you to grow in that grace. Is it hard to have grace? Is it hard to show mercy? Is it hard to show love? Yes, it is. It is hard to show that to people that don't love you back. But friends, tonight he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I see tonight that this church here, the church that I'm standing in tonight, this body of believers, we must be strong in grace. We must allow that grace to flow through us in this local body. But let me show you the second thing I see tonight in verse number 2. Not only are we supposed to be strong in grace, but we ought to be being committed to discipleship. We must be committed to grow in what the Lord has called us to do. Look in verse number 2. And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He said, I want you to be a faithful disciple and have discipleship in your life. Take somebody under your wing and show them that grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. And these things that thou hast heard of me. What have you heard of me, preacher? What have you heard of Paul? Timothy, what have you heard about Paul? Look here in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 12. Here's what you've heard of me. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, are you ashamed of Jesus? Man, if you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you. Here's what he says tonight. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I believed. I know tonight in whom I believed in. I know who I have put my faith in. I know when He showed His grace in my life. I know when He showed me that. He said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe and am persuaded. Hey, it's one thing to believe, but it's something, I'm telling you what, when you're persuaded, when you got confidence tonight to know that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you know when the gates of hell come against you and your family, you don't back down, you don't get out, and you don't give up, but you stand on that word and you keep praying and you keep seeking God's face, and you say, God, I know I can't, but I sure know You can. Can I get an amen? And here's what He said tonight. I am persuaded that He is able. Friends, tonight, can I say to you, we serve a God that's able tonight. We serve a God that is able tonight. I'm telling you, there's nothing short about Him tonight. He is able. If you've got a need in your life tonight, it ain't nothing in your life the grace of God can't take care of. Grow in that grace tonight. Know when things are going wrong. Know when things ain't right. That you don't have to turn nowhere but to Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, He's our provider tonight. Be strong in grace. Be committed to discipleship. He said, He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Here's what He said in verse 13. What you've heard of me. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. What sound words? He said, everything I've told you is the truth. They're sound. You can stand on them. Tonight, I want you to know this book. You can stand on this book. Here's what he said. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I see tonight we must be strong in grace as a church. Keep doing it right. Be strong in grace. Be committed to discipleship. That's learning tonight. You say, preacher, what good will that do if I'm committed to discipleship? Number one, it'll give you substance to your faith. It'll put substance to your faith when you get committed to discipleship tonight and learning about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say I have faith. It's one thing to say I love the Lord. It's one thing to say I'm a believer. But it's totally different when you put action to it. It's totally different tonight. He said it gives substance to our faith. He said, in these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. You know what we ought to do here tonight? We ought to be able to teach somebody the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to show that grace. It gives substance to our faith. It stabilizes us in times of testing. When testings come and they come our way and you don't know what to do, Sister Keela, you've got something going on. You've got a test coming and you want to know what? You want discernment. You want to make the right move. You didn't turn to nobody. You turned to God. You said, I want believers praying and I want God to give me the right answer. I want Him to turn me the right way. I want Him to move me and me not move myself. It gives substance. It gives stability in times of testing. It also enables us to handle God's word correctly. When you're in that grace and you're a disciple of the word tonight, it'll let you get to that place you handle God's word correctly. It also equips us to detect false teaching. It gives us a warning against false teaching and what we need in our life. Can I say it also makes us confident in our walk? Man, when you get in this word and you're growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you're a disciple of the word and you're a student of the word and you study that word and you get in that book and you read that word and you're getting fed every day of your life, and it just ain't on Sunday morning and Sunday night, about an hour and a half a week, but you're in it every day. You open your eyes and you're digging into that word and you're seeking God's face. Hey, can I say to you tonight, that grace of God's going to get more sweeter in your life and you're going to become a student of that word. You know what I want to be tonight? I want to be a student of God's word. I want to study that word. I want to study to show myself approved, not unto Union Chapel Baptist Church, but I want to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to divide this word rightly tonight. I want to know when somebody comes in and they're preaching heresy and they're not preaching the truth and they're trying to lead me the wrong way and I'm getting caught up with every cord on every corner. I don't have to go that way. I can get back to the old King James Bible. I can get back to them leather covers. It'll lead me the right way. It'll lead me the way I need to go, and I don't have to back down or back out, and I don't have to cower down. I don't have to be ashamed, but I can stand on that book and tell them that the grace of Jesus Christ, it is enough. By His blood I've been saved. Through His blood this afternoon I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't ask you that. You got to have confidence in the world we live in, and you only have that confidence through the grace of Jesus Christ. You're only going to have that confidence in the discipleship when you love and when you start learning the word of God. Can I say it only makes confident in our walk, but also calms our fears. When you read that book, it'll calm your fears. It'll calm your fears. T.S. Rendell's got a book. It says, "Give me the book." And he's got a story in there that I've been reading. And I read this story out of that book. It talked about a lady that got a little white flower. And the little flower was that white. A missionary gave it to her. It was about that big around, a little white flower. And she took that white flower home and had it in a pot. And it looked so pretty, looked so nice. I mean, real clean. He was relaying that flower to the Word of God. By the way, Jesus is the Rose of Sharon. Can I get an amen? And he took that flower and she took it home. And when she took that little white flower home and set it on her table, she realized how dirty her table was. So she started cleaning her table, Brother Jerry. She wiped that table down real clean. She said, "Man, that thing's clean." Well, when she got done with her table, she looked down. She noticed her floor was dirty. She got down on her hands and knees, started cleaning her floor. Wasn't long after she cleaned her floor, she looked up and the walls was dirty. She started cleaning the walls. After she got the walls clean, she looked on up and there the roof was dirty. She started cleaning the roof. When she got done, her whole house was clean. Hey, can I say to you, that's what the Word of God does? When you put it in your life, it'll show you the spots that you need clean. It'll show you the spots that you need to be worked on. When you're learning the Word of God, it'll show things in your life. I ask you tonight, how much Word are you putting in? Being strong in grace. Keep doing it right. Keep living by grace. Keep being a disciple. Being committed to discipleship. Learning, loving, learning. But also this. I want to give you this. And this is, a lot of people love and they learn, but a lot of people ain't long-suffering. Let me give you this. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3. Not only should we be strong in grace and being committed to discipleship, but we must be faithful through hardships. Faithful through hardships. You said, "Preacher, it's hard on every corner." It was hard on Jesus. "Preacher, people don't like me." They didn't like Jesus. "People talk about me." They talked about Jesus. Listen to me tonight. You're not going through nothing that Jesus Christ didn't go through. He took on humanity that He may know the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it is to go through everything you've went through in your life. There's not one thing you're going through that He doesn't know about. That's why He says His grace is enough. It is sufficient tonight. And He said, "I want you to learn of me. I don't only want you to love me, but I want you to learn of me. I want you to learn what I love, what I like, what I dislike. I want you to learn of me." And He said, when you learn of me and you get a hold of me the way you should, you're going to be long-suffering. You're going to be able to endure hardships when they come your way. Listen to me tonight. Every child of God in here, listen to me very carefully. When you got saved, it did not exempt you from hardships. That's right. When you got saved, you did not hit a reset button, exit button, free button. You didn't hit none of that. When you got saved, you're still living in this world. And you're going to have to live by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to have to get in that book and you're going to have to be a disciple like you ain't never seen. You're going to have to study that word. And when hardships come, you can't lean on them the way you used to. You can't throw a fit and get mad and try to solve it that way. You've got to learn to lean on Jesus Christ. Not only do you learn from Him, not only do you love Him, but you got to lean on Him. And to lean on Him is to do this, not to just barely lean on Him. I'm talking about there's going to be times you're going to have to rest, in my case, all 250 pounds on Him because you can't even hold up 1 ounce of your weight. Am I talking to anybody? That you've been beat down so bad, you've been trodden down so bad, the enemy has beat you down, hardships has come, and you can't even carry your own weight. Who's going to carry you then? Who's going to come up beside you then? Who's going to come up beside you 1 o'clock in the morning when the old enemy's beating you to death? Who's going to carry you then? Who are you going to call then? You better know you got God. You better know the Holy Ghost is living inside of you and Jesus Christ is your Lord. Because there's going to come times nobody's going to be around. And there's going to be things fly through your head. If you told anybody, they thought you was crazy. And they try to send you to a mental ward. I hope that's the kind of church I'm pastoring. That's how you pastor. That's what goes through my mind sometimes. So who do you lean on, preacher? Who do I lean on when hardships come? I lean on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms. He'll never let you down. And so many people are misinformed when they think they get saved, that it's all bed of roses. Everything's great. Man, everything's good. Listen to me. Listen to me. I have a peace now. Amen? I handle things some way different. I ain't going to let my wife talk, but some things I handle different. But I got a peace. But hardships still come my way. Trials come my way. Testing comes my way. Temptation comes my way. And by the way, tonight, temptation is not a sin. It's how you handle it will determine if you fall victim to it or not. You can't help what comes your way. Listen, we got an adversary out there, and he's wanting to trip every one of us up, and you can't help that. Temptation is not a sin. Jesus Christ was tempted, but he sinned not. Temptation is not a sin. It's what you do with that temptation when it comes, when that hardness comes. Let me show you this in verse number 3. I want to get here tonight. I want to show you this as we get here to the end right here. Look what he says here tonight. That thou for, look, not only do we have grace, not only do we have that, when we get to the place we have discipleship, but we got to be faithful through hardships. Thou therefore. He said, this is what I want you to know. This is why this is there. Therefore, that's why this is there. He explained that. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. And when you got saved, you entered the battlefield and you entered a war. You didn't enter a playground, you entered another battlefield. When you was lost, it may have been a playground and all hunky-dory and lived like you wanted to. But when you got saved, the old man died, a new man came alive, and the Holy Ghost took up residency in your life. And he don't just let anything come in. There's a battle when something else tries to come in. Just saying. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Let me give you this. Being faithful through hardships, that's long-suffering. You got to love, you got to learn, and you got to be willing to be long-suffering. Experience, you're going to experience hardship. What do, preacher? You got to endure. You got to stand. You got to stand. And I don't care who's falling around you. Listen to me tonight. It doesn't matter. It don't matter what they believe. What God's put on your heart in that book, if it lines up with that book, you got to stand on it. You can't go against that book. You got to read that book. You got to study that book. You got to learn it. And you got to know. And it can't be because your preacher said it. It's got to be because that book said it. Experience hardship, you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to face hardship. Don't entangle yourself with this world when it comes. Not only are you going to experience hardship and face hardship, sad to say, you're going to go through hardship. And except you strive lawfully, you will fail. What does that mean, preacher? Except you strive lawfully. except you strive the right way. There is a way that we as Christians fight, and it's not with our hands. It's with our knees. And if there's one thing that'll fight quicker, it's in a local body church like this or any other church. And that's what I pray about all the time, that it don't enter here. That we have love. We learn about the Lord, and we be long-suffering to one another. You say, preacher, well, what kind of crown am I working for? When I got called into this army, when I got enlisted in, what am I gaining? You're gaining everything. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 25 tonight. You have got to get to, I've got to get to that place tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 25. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I tell you what, let's back up. Just be strong, be committed, and be faithful. And I want to show you what you gain. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 19. I want to show you what you gain. When you hear the word gain, I want you to say gain, okay? Everybody there, 1 Corinthians 9, 19? All right, here we go. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all that I might the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew that I might the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law that I might them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak that I might. Whoo, glory. The weak, and I made all things to all men that I might by all men save some. And this do I for the gospel's sake that I might be partakers therefore with you. What is that, preacher? It ain't always my way that I might gain somebody. That I might gain the next person. They're watching you on how you're living your life. And how you're living your life and how you're loving and how you're learning and how you're being long-suffering. Somebody's watching if they want to be part of the body of Christ or not. I'm telling you, a lot of times we got to know this tonight. Know ye not they which run in verse 24 in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but what do we do it for? Incorruptible. Why do you love people, Miss Patsy? He loved you. Why do you come to church on Wednesday night? To learn about him. And when somebody wrongs you in this place, you've got to be long-suffering. You're probably one of the long-standing members in this church. Been here for a long time, let me say that. We won't go into age. We won't go into age, okay? And they're waiting on us right here, but I got to give this. You've been here a long time, just say that, okay? We're going to say you've been here 20 years, plus. 20 plus. 72? Okay, long time. You've loved a lot of people. You've loved a lot of people in this place. You've learned a lot about the Lord over them years. But I bet you've had to be long-suffering more than anything. I bet you've had your feelings hurt bad. I bet you've had your feelings hurt where if normal Joe walked in here that said they loved Jesus, they'd done be gone. I bet you shed a lot of tears. I bet you went home at night and got on your pillow and nobody knew what was going on in your life, but you said, I can't believe a brother or sister would talk to me that way or do me that way. I know you have. I've only been saved 17 years. But it's happened. Brother BG, why you keep preaching? Because I ain't doing it for you. Why you keep going to church? Because I ain't doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. It's for him. For him. You can't hurt me bad enough. Man, I know what it is to be hurt. I know what it is to be talked about. I know what it is to be run over. But I ain't, but Sister Pastor, you ain't doing it for everybody. Who are you doing it for? For him. That we might gain that incorruptible crown. No corruption. Folks, tonight, what I'm trying to keep doing it right. Keep doing it. What? Ministry. Keep loving. Keep loving. Keep learning about Jesus. He got crucified and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, if he can forgive, I can. Sister Keela, I seen that look on your face. You went, if he can forgive the one that crucified him and nailed him to the cross and the one that drove the nails in his hand, salvation can come to his house too. I think if somebody talked to me a little wrong, I could get over it. I might be meddling tonight, but I come in this place tonight just to tell you I'm proud of you. I thank God for you. I love you. And I thank God for what he's doing in this local body right here. So tonight, just keep loving Jesus. Keep learning about him. And be long-suffering. You don't know who's going to walk through that door that's had an awful day. You don't know who's going to walk in that door that they just got a report that they can't handle. And they might be a little short or a little, you know what Paul told Timothy? Keep enduring. Keep marching. He said, preacher, is it worth it? It's worth it all. It's worth it all. I'm not going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm not going to hear it. I'm going to hear, well done, thy good and faithful. Let us pray. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. I glorify you. I lift up your name. I thank you that this church is doing it right. Not because I'm the pastor, but because you are on the throne. And they're just looking to you, Father. And they're just loving you, and they're learning from you, they're leaning on you, and they're being long-suffering with one another. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, we got a fellowship hall that's fixing to be finished and built in November. And Lord, I'm asking you to not let no division come in this place, not one inkling of division. No confusion, no chaos, no. Lord, I'm asking you to take care of everything before it ever gets here. I'm asking you to iron it all out. I'm asking you, Lord, to let your love just show through every one of us in this place. And Lord, I'm asking you to have your will and way in our lives. I thank you, I praise you, I glorify you. And I just want to say thank you for forgiving me of my sins and where I failed thee. I ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, love on somebody. Amen.